Okay, good morning, everybody. On this July 4th, it's a great opportunity for us to give hodah and thanks to this wonderful country. And it also is an opportunity for us to spend the day learning Torah together. And we have a wonderful symposium planned for this morning about the sanctity of the summer and how we can elevate ourselves in Kedusha and as well make ourselves aware of important issues that potentially face us as we go on vacation, both from a spiritual as well as from a physical nature. So it's my pleasure to lead off the symposium with a talk about the buzz on Zika. What are the halachic concerns that a person should have and know about in dealing with this virus? So everybody's aware that there's talk even about many Olympic athletes not going to the Olympics this year because of Zika. Some top names in golf and in other sports have essentially said that they don't want to go because of the concerns that they have about Zika. And there are talks even about canceling the Olympics, which doesn't look like that will happen at this point in time. And the question is, what should we as Torah observing Jews know and need to know about Zika in order that we can make appropriate halachic decisions? And there were many. I have been asked in the last couple of years, probably more questions, from the last couple of months, more questions about Zika than about any other shiloh that you could pose to a rabbi. And this is because there are tremendous halachic issues that people might not even be aware of when it comes to these mosquito-borne vectors. So I put up here on this slide three well-known at this point viruses, at least to people that have some familiarity with this area of medicine. And that these are certain types of viruses that can be transmitted via mosquitoes. So we'll have to have a little halachic background before we can have any medical background. And that's the way every shaila has to be approached and looked at. You really need to know what the halacha is based upon what the medical facts are. We don't say bashamayim here. We don't say we just get a nevuah and we paskin what the halacha is. But since the days of nevuah have been taken away from us, so then it's up to the rabbanim, the chazal, to go and figure out what the halach is based upon our Torah precepts, but also based upon the medical facts. So in the last couple of months, including last night, I was asked the shaila. I get questions literally almost every day about Zika. And these are all real shailas that I've been asked and many, many more. So is it halachically permitted to go on vacation to various places in the world where Zika is prevalent? And these are some of the shailas I've been asked. It's not necessarily that these are yes or no's in terms of Zika being prevalent there, but people have asked me before Pesach, I must have gotten 5 or 10 calls a day, is it safe for me to go on this trip to Florida? Is it safe for me to go on this trip to wherever their Pesach program was, be it in South America, Central America, in Mexico? People ask me, could they go to Eretz Yisrael? Is it safe there? Some people ask me, is it safe to go to Long Island, to have their children come to Long Island because of Zika? That's vacation question. Is it halachically permitted to travel and work in those places? A different sort of a shaila. Person's going on someplace of vacation has a different halacha than somebody going someplace on a business requirement, be it for some of them were Klei Kodesh, they were mashkichim, or doing other sorts of Torah-related work in some of these Zika endemic areas, and other people were going on secular work reasons. Their boss sent them, they have to go on a business trip doing legal work or whatever type of work it may be in Brazil. So are they halachically allowed to go? That's one type of questions, the travel-related questions. Much, much more halachically of a concern are the questions that are related to the use of birth control, related to Zika-related issues. And these are real, real questions that I was asked. My husband just came back from Brazil and I'm pregnant. My frum OBGYN says we must use a condom. I apologize for using certain words in a base medrash, but that's the way you have to learn. You have to understand and use all the medical knowledge we have available to discuss these situations appropriately and halachically. So I apologize for any sensitivities that we have to discuss here in the base medrash and the shul, but these are important shailas. We were vacationing in Panama and are trying to have a child. My frum OB says we must use a condom. It's the real shailas. Ask questions from all over the world, from different rabbonim, asking me how to understand certain things. Batinim, various gedolim, I've had the opportunity to speak with about these shailas. My children are visiting us from South America. Are we at any risk? And many, many variations on these types of questions. So in order to answer these types of questions, you have to have a little bit of a background in medicine to understand what the issues really are. So what is Zika? Zika is a virus. It is, for those that are physicians or technically inclined, I'll be very, very brief in the medical stuff. It's a what's called the flavivirus. It's a type of virus that we know very well. They're transmitted by mosquitoes. They're single-stranded RNA viruses. If you don't understand what any of that means, that won't affect the rest of the lecture. But for the physicians or healthcare professionals, you might like to know that background. What's more important is that it's closely related to several other viral diseases that have been well known for a while, such as dengue, yellow fever, Japanese encephalitis virus, West Nile virus. All of these are viruses that have been in the news quite a bit and can cause serious illness in selected individuals who get it. It's transmitted by certain types of specific mosquitoes known as the Aedes species of mosquitoes. And it's very appropriate for us to mention today, on the 40th anniversary of the miraculous nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed in Entebbe, that in 1947, a number of years before Entebbe, Zika virus was first identified in a monkey near Entebbe, Uganda. And there's a body of water there called the Zika River that is what gave the virus its name. And Entebbe's in the news for two reasons today. One is because it's the 40th anniversary, and we really have to give Shevach and Hodah for the miraculous saving of all of those lives on that hijacked airline 40 years ago today. And also, as an interesting aside, that this is where Zika was first isolated, and we wouldn't be having this shit if it wasn't for Entebbe. So, it was known and recognized for almost 70 years now. So what has changed? Why are we having a shiur today? We never had a shiur before on Zika. So prior to about 2007, there were very rare reports of individuals that got a little bit sick from Zika, and that was it. Didn't really have an endemic spread to it. There were really isolated, sporadic cases. The first outbreak was first noted about 10 years ago on the Yap Islands, and this was noticed, and that's about it. It didn't make a lot of headlines because it didn't cause very severe disease. As we'll talk about, there's two real issues with Zika: the person themselves getting the disease and the transmission to a mother with a baby inside of her potentially. And the latter part is what makes it such an important halachic shaila. Another outbreak, a much larger outbreak, was seen in 2013, 2014 in French Polynesia. Again, not much was made of it from a point of view of this is going to change the world, this is going to make dramatic impact on what people are doing. But this past year, in 2015, saw a huge epidemic, which is still underway and growing, which began in Brazil, and today affects at least 40 other countries, and the number unfortunately seems to be growing, and over 100,000 active cases of Zika have been identified so far, which is really just the tip of the iceberg because many, many cases can be asymptomatic. So why is this important? Well, the virus is spread by certain types of mosquitoes. There are some that are more effective than others, and there are some that are found in New York and southeastern United States historically and at present. And the question is, will this virus as well come to the United States as an endemic virus as opposed to something brought in only via travel? And that's the unknown question, and we'll talk about that more. It's the same virus that transmits some of these other flaviviruses. It is especially prevalent in water holding areas. That's where these mosquitoes love to breed. So that's why when people have stayed bodies of water, or you have a tire filled with water around your house, you have a little swampy area in your backyard, those are breeding grounds for these types of mosquitoes. And one of the public health measures that they've talked about in terms of West Nile prevention, for example, has been the removal of such bodies of water as possible, so you decrease the area where the mosquitoes can be around you. The mosquitoes tend to bite more at dawn and at dusk, but they can bite during the day as well. And that's not a solution to say just don't go out at dawn and dusk, but it is a problem. Why has this not been a problem until now? Because Zika doesn't cause a very, very serious illness in the host adult who gets this. So the clinical illness that Zika gives is actually a relatively mild illness. You get a rash, you get some fevers, you get some joint pains, you get some muscle pains. It classically can give you some sort of a conjunctivitis, which is like a pink eye, a redness in your eye. You get some headaches. Basically not that much different than any other mild viral flu-like syndrome. And it goes away on its own. You don't run into medical problems with it. For the vast majority of adults who get this, it's a self-limited disease that, if that's all that Zika did, we would not be having this talk. We could go straight to our next speaker and get out a little bit early. But that's unfortunately not the case over here. There is no treat for Zika. When a person does get it, you take your palliative measures and you get better. However, where Zika became such an important entity, different than the other flaviviruses that cause much more serious human disease, fatal human disease, is that this can be transmitted from a mother to the baby growing inside of her. And as a result, there are several physicians in Brazil that deserve a tremendous amount of credit for noticing and recognizing that they were seeing cases of what's called microcephaly. Microcephaly is exactly like it sounds. For those that understand the roots of the word, it means small brain. Micro means small, cephaly is the brain. So unfortunately, these babies are impacted very severely by the virus as they're developing in utero inside the mother, and they can get a very crippling malformation of their brains. It can also actually lead to miscarriage, which might sometimes be a bracha in these babies, spontaneous miscarriage, as well as can lead to some other medical problems that we're just beginning to understand right now. We also understand that the earlier in the pregnancy, this is relatively new information from the last few weeks, earlier in the pregnancy, the virus's effect can be much more severe. And recently there was something that was published that in the third trimester, it really doesn't cause that much difficulty. So that is an important halachic issue that we'll see. If it doesn't really cause a significant risk to the child growing inside the mother, so that may impact on what the halacha says you're allowed to do in terms of some of the recommendations the CDC has during pregnancy for women still to use a condom every time they have relations with their husband, if the husband was in a Zika area. So this would be impacted, differences between the first and second trimester and the third trimester in halacha. Furthermore, another very severe shaila that comes up is, are you allowed to do an abortion on such a baby when you identify that the baby in fact does have microcephaly or has the beginnings of microcephaly? We don't have a specific test that's a perfect test to make this diagnosis. You really need to do sonograms to show evidence of this microcephaly. And as a result, we don't have a perfect way to say this baby is 100% impacted and will have a very severe form of microcephaly versus the baby may be sick, but we don't know what the outcome will be. So that also changes things around. So what has the public health, what has the world health bodies done to address this? So in El Salvador, just an example of one country, it's not the only country, but I think it was the first country, they came out with a recommendation to all the women in El Salvador, don't get pregnant. That's an amazing thing if you think about it, for an entire country to recommend that every single woman in that country not get pregnant. And they're recommending this not for a short period, not for a 6-week period of time, they're recommending this at the present time for this year, next year, and the year beyond, until they have a better handle on the virus from both a public health point of view. There are many things being done to try to eradicate the mosquito vector, to change the mosquito vector. A lot of interesting genetic engineering that is being done. But until we get a handle on it, El Salvador has recommended don't get pregnant. Now, this is in direct, stark contrast to the Torah's prescription that a person should populate the world. So therefore, we are at odds right away with the public health recommendations in El Salvador. Was it just El Salvador? So the answer is no. The World Health Organization and the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, are making similar recommendations. So this has huge halacha l'maaseh ramifications. So we have to understand what the halachic issues are. First, in regards to abortion, which is a little bit easier from a halachic point of view to talk about, albeit an extremely, extremely difficult shaila. Talking then about what a person is allowed, mechuyev to, not permitted to do in terms of birth control, what type of birth control to prevent the spread of Zika, rachmana litzlan, to a baby. So the first thing to understand is that there is a test available for Zika that is very reliable for people who have active Zika infection or have recently had Zika infection. It's a test called a PCR test, a polymerase chain reaction testing. I won't get into any of the technical details about this test, but if a woman has been symptomatic, so this test can determine, yes, that her symptoms were in fact due to Zika, and then you can know that for certain. Just came out a few days ago, a study from Eretz Yisrael. We should be very proud of all the accomplishments of Eretz Yisrael. They have a wonderful scientific community in Eretz Yisrael. And this was published in the equivalent of the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report in the European journal called Eurosurveillance. And they showed that actually their test that they've developed is actually more sensitive than the one that the United States is recommending, which is to use urine to make this diagnosis, which is more sensitive than serum. But they actually have done their test on whole blood, and they've actually shown that you can detect the virus better when you look at whole blood than previously what we thought was urine, which was better than serum. Again, it's a little bit technical. Don't worry about it if you didn't really follow that. It's really more for the physicians in the room. But this could also have halacha l'maaseh ramifications for a rav who's trying to paskin to know what tests were done and how accurate that information really is. And a couple of times when I've been called in by different Bate Dinim, so I've been able to explain to them some of the distinctions and some additional tests that can be done to totally change the Shaila. From originally the Shaila maybe being that it's permissible to use a condom, to subsequently the answer being no, that it's also to use a condom in these situations. If you have the right tests done and you can rule out certain infection, so then there is no hefty to use a condom. The other thing that's very important to understand is that there is a serological test that is different than looking for the actual virus that's present, but it looks to see if the body has been exposed to the virus and the virus and the body has developed antibodies to that virus. If you have not developed antibodies to that virus, this IgM test, that's what it's called, is very sensitive to say that you haven't been exposed to the virus. And this is a game changer from a halachic point of view. If a woman is pregnant and she's been in an endemic area and she has not had symptoms, so then if this IgM test is negative, it essentially says the woman has not been exposed to Zika. So in the questions that I pointed out, some of the questions originally, we were in a Zika area and now we came back and we found out we're pregnant, what should we do? So if they're no longer in the Zika area, so there's no longer a chance to further get infected with Zika, and this IgM test is negative, that means that the woman, Baruch Hashem, was not exposed to Zika, and that means that there's a zero risk of that baby having Zika microcephaly. So therefore, right away, if that test is negative, so then the Shaila, can you or can you not use a condom, goes right off the board. The answer is clearly no, you're not allowed to. Now this may be surprising to some people. Aren't we talking about a pregnant woman? What's the issue of using a condom if you're already pregnant? It's not Hashkas HaZera, is it? So the answer is yes, it is. There is an issue to use a condom, even if the woman cannot get pregnant, she's above the age of being able to get pregnant, she's already pregnant, she's incapable of having children for whatever medical reason. So there still is an issue, a separate issue, to use a condom, even in a situation where the woman cannot get pregnant or is already pregnant. And that is a very severe issue that cannot be just dismissed because that's what the CDC or other bodies, august bodies, recommend that we do. So therefore, if you can show, and this test was not available until relatively recently, and now is recommended at least, albeit not for the halakhic purposes, I had an opportunity to have several discussions with the New York State Department of Health and the CDC about making this test available so that people can use it, and to their credit, the New York State Department of Health has made this test available already now for several months, whereas the CDC had been slower to have this test available because they were more concerned about what the results of the test actually demonstrate. But now we have pretty good knowledge that if you have a negative test, then you haven't been exposed. So many of the shilas that I was originally asked that came up from various different places, so the answer is do an IgM test, which is what I recommended, which was going against what the Fluma obstetricians were recommending, which was the CDC's recommendation. But now, Baruch Hashem, they've changed around, and if this test is negative, then there really is no risk of the woman having been exposed to Zika. And this obviates two shailas. Do they have to use a condom during the rest of the pregnancy, which is still an official recommendation? But with this test, there's no reason to do so, halachic or medical. And more importantly, in some ways, there are people that are recommending doing an abortion in such women. You can't detect the microcephaly early on. You really have to wait till about middle of the pregnancy before you can start seeing on a sonogram evidence of microcephaly. We don't have another test. So they were recommending, or there were people that were recommending, in the secular world, unfortunately, it's not a big deal if you do an abortion. So you get pregnant again some other time. But in halacha, we know, of course, the severity of that shaila, and how we don't do abortions on the mere threat or potential for an outcome that's the way we ideally would like it. And where abortion may or may not be sanctioned is a very difficult discussion, a very complex halachic discussion, which we won't go into great detail today. But there are great poskim that would permit a bona fide, severe Zika encephaly, microencephaly baby to be aborted. So there are poskim that would permit, there are some poskim that would not, there are poskim that might permit, depending on the severity of the encephalopathy, or the microcephaly, which unfortunately cannot really be seen until the baby is already at least well into the second trimester. And even then, you can't tell necessarily the severity of the microcephaly. So if you can show that the sonograms are normal and the IgM is negative, so then that would essentially eliminate the shaila, and the parents should be told that they don't have to have any worries, both from a medical halachic point of view, does the baby have Zika, and is there a need or even a discussion to talk about an abortion and condoms. So again, the testing that's been developed can change the psak halacha based upon the information that it's provided. So again, chas v'shalom, if the baby has been exposed, the mother did test positive, so then it becomes a very, very difficult shaila. Can you or can you not permit an abortion? So in the poskim that I discussed with, as well as the poskim historically that have discussed these types of shailas, there's a great tshuva from the Shevet Halevi, Rav Ozen Zatzal, who was asked the shaila when they first came out with the rubella vaccine, and many, many pregnant women were vaccinated with the rubella vaccine 50, 60 years ago. And the question was, does the rubella vaccine at that point, they didn't know, did it or did it not cause a very severe potential syndrome in the mother's babies that were inside of them, should they abort those babies? So if I remember the tshuva correctly, he was asked 1,000 shailas, literally 1,000 shailas came to that beis din, should they do an abortion? He paskened in every single one not to do an abortion. And the tshuva states that 999 of those babies were born without any evidence at all whatsoever of any problem, and one baby had a mild problem that might have been attributed to the vaccine. Weren't even sure. So here you have a somewhat similar, not exactly, situation where you had a great beis din and a great rav posing that you can't do an abortion. Now, that's when you're dealing with an unknown. When you are dealing with a baby that Rahmanul Islam does have microcephaly, so then there are poskim that would permit, that Sitz Eliezer, that's out the great Rebbe Waldenberg, who was the posek in Shari Chesed in Yerushalayim for over 40 years, wrote greater than 20 plus volumes of the Tzitz Eliezer, his great Shele Tshuvas. So he did permit doing an abortion in situations where the baby would be significantly compromised. Obviously, these Tshuvas were not directed against Zika. They were mostly directed against other very serious genetic diseases like Tay-Sachs and other diseases like that. Other poskim disagreed with the Tzitz Eliezer. So again, when the shaila unfortunately does come up in areas where Zika is prevalent, so they really need to be addressed by a gadol b'Torah, a posek who is going to paskin these shailas the way he sees that it's appropriate. The second really part of the talk will deal with the sexual transmission of Zika, which leads itself to numerous shailas, many more Baruch Hashem than the abortion shailas, which Baruch Hashem are relatively rarer. But these shailas, in terms of birth control, are literally being asked every single day in endemic areas, and as I said, just at the tip of the iceberg over here, we're getting these types of shilas all the time. So we have to understand how the virus can be transmitted. So basically you have three likely ways that the virus can be transmitted, then a bunch of other theoretical ways. So mosquito bites in an endemic area are a great way to transmit this virus. The mosquito bites an infected person and then goes and bites an uninfected person, and you transmit the virus that way. In an endemic area, this is going to happen. The concern has been raised, well, if somebody in the United States, we have about 500-600 cases of Zika already in the United States, all brought in from abroad. All people that traveled abroad came back to the United States. So in all of those situations, you have basically the concern, could a mosquito in America bite such one of these 600 people and then begin to transmit it in the United States? So that's a theoretical concern that hasn't happened as of yet. You have a similar concern with a mosquito maybe getting on an airplane and becoming a frequent flyer and getting off in Brazil and getting off at JFK and then going and injecting somebody with the Zika that's in the mosquito already. And that also is a very, very theoretical concern. We do have something called airport malaria. I actually wrote a paper about this about 20, 25 years ago, where we had a person in Queens who had absolutely never been out of the United States and yet got malaria. And this is something that is talked about in the literature, that a mosquito came from an endemic area and got off the airplane and then bit somebody. But again, this is essentially a theoretical concern. We're not really worried that this is a major way that Zika will be transmitted. But there is a major concern in an endemic area of getting bitten, and there is the concern we've spoken about, mother transmitting it to the baby inside of her. That's called an intrauterine maternal fetal pattern of transmission. And then what we'll speak about now is sexual transmission of Zika, and that's a major, major concern. So just to go quickly why it's not a concern yet in the United States, if you look on this slide, you can see that the distribution in the United States of the two major mosquito vectors, and this is theoretical where those mosquito vectors will be in 2016. This is really based upon prior years. So you do see in the shaded area for Aedes aegypti, which is the more efficacious mosquito for transferring this vector. So that's really limited more to the southeastern United States. But the Aedes albopictus, which is, again, not as efficient in transmitting viral diseases as aegypti, but that is seen more in New York, and if you look at the map, it's in Long Island and in New York City, at least the mosquito. But I point out, I can't stress this enough, there has been no native Zika transmission in the United States. So the halachic concerns are really in terms of it being transmitted sexually. And before you can paskin these shilas, can a woman and her husband use a condom? Can they use other methods of birth control? Will that work? You need to understand the medicine. So we've talked a little bit about it, but now let's see what the situation is. So the World Health Organization states, people living in areas with Zika circulating should consider delaying pregnancy to avoid having babies with birth defects. So that's essentially El Salvador's policy. Don't get pregnant. The best way that women in affected areas can avoid having children with severe brain damage is not to get pregnant. That's the official recommendation from the World Health Organization. What is the CDC, the United States, public health recommendation? So, the estimated risk of getting Zika, if you're infected with Zika and you're pregnant in the first trimester, the estimated, we really don't know this for certain, is about 1%. That means that 1 out of 100 pregnant women in the first trimester of pregnancy who are bitten with a Zika-infected mosquito and get Zika, Baruch Hashem, only 1 in 100 seem to get a child with microcephaly. That puts it a little bit in perspective. But the CDC therefore recommends that pregnant women of any trimester, even though I've shown you recently, we have data to support that in the third trimester it's unlikely to cause microcephaly of any significance, but still it could cause some potential damage that we're just not able to detect right now. Maybe these children will have behavioral problems when they're 5 years old. So we don't really know the full effects. So the official CDC recommendation, which Halacha would agree with, is that pregnant women should not go to a Zika area. I was asked the Shiloh last night, we got an email, somebody wants to take a trip to a certain place within Zika, and they were a young couple. I told them, absolutely not. Halacha would not sanction, I don't think, elective travel for no purpose other than a vacation to a Zika area if the woman or the husband of a woman is potentially going to get pregnant. The husband, when he comes back from the trip, going to have normal relations with his wife, and he comes from a Zika area, he could transmit in his zera Zika virus to his wife, who's never left New York, never left the United States, but he could transmit to her Zika. So therefore, for pleasure, for a person going on a vacation, Lanias Dati, if the couple is of pregnancy age, then they shouldn't be going to a Zika area, which is what I've been recommending to people. Now, Florida is not a Zika area. You can't go to Florida. Israel is not a Zika area. Any place in the United States is not a Zika area. Puerto Rico is a Zika area. The Virgin Islands are a Zika area. Central and South America are Zika areas. If somebody were to ask me, I got tickets to the Olympics, should I go? So I said, unless your name is LeBron James, no, you should not go. Unless you're an athlete, you should not go. Now, why am I saying an athlete can go? So again, over here, I think you have a heter of parnassa. A person is allowed to engage in activities that are somewhat dangerous for parnassa purposes, or a person would not be allowed to engage in such activities for pleasure purposes. Classical tshuva written by the Noda Yehuda in dealing with, can a person go hunting? So he says it's essentially not a good idea for a Jewish boy to go hunting. You know, just to go shoot an animal, not for the meat, not for the use of the hide or anything for economic benefit to the person, but just because you like taking a big powerful gun and shooting a harmless animal. So he says that's not a good idea. But if you're a mountain ranger and there's a polecat out there that's killing off people in a national forest or in a preserve, or you're a trapper and you hunt animals, you kill them, you take their hide, you're a professional guide and you need to keep everybody safe who's on that trip, so then it is permissible. The animal's sometimes going to get you, or maybe risky. You're putting yourself at risk. So then halacha allows for parnasa purposes a person to take certain activities or to perform certain tasks that would be not permitted from a vacation point of view. So I think, number one, this is a critical point. If somebody wishes to vacation in these areas, if they're above the age that they can get pregnant, so then I don't think it's a shaila. They're allowed to go. I think this applies the principle of Dosh Bei Rabin. We are allowed to cross the street. We're not worried that, oh, maybe I'll get hit by a car, so I have to stay home all day. People, unfortunately, slip in the bathtub. So you're not allowed to take a shower or a bath. So we don't postulate like that. Dosh Bei Rabin, any activity that is considered acceptable, normal life activities, even though they pose a certain risk in doing them, so halacha absolutely, lechatchila, says you can go and do them. So the risk of somebody getting Zika, who is not potentially capable of becoming pregnant, or the husband of a woman who could potentially become pregnant, if that's not the case, 70-year-old couple wishes to go on a trip to see the Olympics in Brazil, he's okay. There's no reason from a Zika point of view that halacha would say they can't go. They may get Zika. Okay, so they may get a virus if they come to New York. We don't say people can't go to New York in flu season. We don't say you can't travel any place in the world where there's any sort of an outbreak of cold. We don't say that. So therefore, halacha would allow such a person to go and travel, vacation. But if they're a potential pregnancy age, and therefore they're going to go have a shayla afterwards, can they or can they not use a condom, so then l'chatrila, I don't think you'd be allowed to put yourself into that situation. Again, purely for pleasure purposes. If the person is a mashkiach, as I mentioned, I was there some of these shalas, if the person's a mashkiach, can you go to one of these programs for Pesach? Or if a person's a Rebbe and the summer camp is over there and that's where his parnasa is. If the person is, again, on his job, he's an accountant and he has to audit a company that's in Brazil. So those would be halachically acceptable reasons to go. A person would be fit to go, and then the shilas might flow afterwards. Certainly, if the person can get out of it, so listen, I went last year, now it's your turn to go to somebody else, so that would certainly be preferable. But I think there is a difference in halachic sanction for a person to go versus a person to go on vacation to go for business reasons. Continuing the CDC recommendations, Zika can be transmitted by the zera of a person, by the semen of a person, from a man to any partner that man has. In the secular world, unfortunately, that also includes a male partner. In the halachic world, hopefully that only includes a husband to his wife. But it is a absolutely bona fide, recognized method of transmission. We have some data on this. and these are important because they impact the Shiloh. I gave a similar share here a few weeks ago at Shiloh Shudas, and already I have to update one piece of information. When I spoke at Shiloh Shudas here, I said that there has not yet been a case of an asymptomatic man transmitting Zika to another person. At that point in time, every single person who had transmitted in their Zera Zika to their partner had had some symptoms. So now there's one case that was published about 2-3 weeks ago that had an asymptomatic man who infected his girlfriend in France with Zika, even though he absolutely never had any symptoms. Upon as close querying as they could, he absolutely was asymptomatic when he traveled to the Zika area, and he did have Zika in his Zera, and he did infect his girlfriend, who had never been to the Zika area in France. So therefore, this now, while we may say that an asymptomatic person is less likely, I can't state with certainty that he cannot transmit Zika to his wife. We have to realize that Zika can stay in the Zera. Here's another fact that I have to change from that talk from about a month ago that I gave here at Shiloh Shudas. So the virus at that point, and it still is on the CDC website as of Friday, and I checked today, CDC website says that you can identify live virus in the Zera of a person up to 14 days. Well, it just was published in the New England Journal of Medicine about 3 weeks ago, another case where the live virus was identified in the Zera of a person at 24 days after the onset of symptoms. So we're beginning to stretch out the period of time that theoretically a man might be capable of transmitting Zika from his Zera to his partner. And when you use fancier studies, you can detect remnants of the virus, not live virus, so theoretically not capable of infecting, but you can detect remnants of the virus even up to 2 months after the onset of symptoms. So this is a very important for a Rav to know when he passes these cases. It's also very important to realize that no woman has ever given Zika to a man, and yet this Poraya Bia. So therefore, it's important to understand that if the woman was in the endemic area and she tests negative IgM, so then there's no way that she could give it to her husband, who then would be able to potentially give it back to her. So that's a shiloh that can easily be answered. If a woman is in an endemic area, she's not pregnant, she would like to get pregnant, she comes back from an endemic area. If her IgM is negative, so the husband and wife can go on their normal lives and none of these shilohs about birth control come up. So the CDC recommends, and we'll see the halacha in the few minutes that I have left. We started a little bit late, so I apologize. We'll still end, hopefully, after my 45 minutes. So if a woman is pregnant and the male partner traveled to a Zika area, so what should they do? So the CDC recommends that they should use condoms or abstain for the entire pregnancy. So what does halacha have to say in that situation? So if the woman, in fact, is pregnant and you don't know the status of the partner, we can't ascertain the partner was from an endemic area, the husband's from an endemic area, so until you can ascertain that he doesn't have Zika and his Zera, so halacha would not recommend that they have relations. Because this is for a short period of time. For a short period of time, halacha doesn't sanction the use of a condom. How you define a short period of time? So in regards to HIV infection, this shiloh came up many, many times when an intern or a resident got stuck with a needle. And in the original technology, it would take 6 months to guarantee that the intern wasn't exposed. So the shiloh came up numerous times. I had to address the shiloh. What should the husband and wife do? They're from people. The intern just was given a news that he shouldn't have sex with his wife without a condom for 6 months. What does halacha say? So in that situation, the poskim that I asked at that period of time said for a 6 month period of time, halacha would not recommend that they abstain, or halacha would allow them to use a condom based upon various gedolei Yisrael. However, when the technology said that now you'd only you can assure the person that they didn't get infected with HIV after a 1 month period of time, it no longer took 6 months to rule that out. So then the same poskim I discussed with told me no, in that situation halacha would recommend that you abstain for that period of time, but wouldn't allow you to use a condom. So using that same basic idea here, I asked this shiloh to the various poskim, and they gave me the same answer, that for a period of time of about 1 month, halacha would not sanction the use of a condom. So in this situation, when a person would come back from an endemic area, the answer is very simple. Abstain from having relations with your wife until you get the IgM test. If you get the IgM test and the IgM test is negative, so despite what the CDC and what all these other bodies recommend, I don't think there's any medical risk, therefore I don't think there's a halachic heter to engage in relations using a condom. If the person, however, does have, if the partner, the male partner does, the husband does have, in fact, Zika exposure, so then he does have the potential to have Zika in his zera for at least the period of 24 days now, maybe longer than that. And therefore, the CDC recommends that they abstain from getting pregnant for a period of 6 months. So if the woman is not yet pregnant, so halacha, in that situation, I think would view more favorably the use of other birth control. Because you're interested in preventing pregnancy here, not necessarily in preventing the wife from getting Zika. That would be a relatively mild disease. So here the halacha is much more lenient, and again, only with halachic heter is birth control via, let's say, the pill permissible. You need a mora harah to say that it's permissible. But in this situation, if you're interested only in preventing pregnancy, so for a period of time until you could safely say that the person no longer has Zika in their zera, which they officially recommend 6 months, so then it might be a heter to use the pill, or a more acceptable type of birth control than using a condom, because you're interested here in preventing pregnancy, so therefore birth control will be fine. If the woman is already pregnant and this shayla comes up, so then the official recommendation is that they should use a condom in the rest of the pregnancy to prevent the man's zera, which contains Zika, from going into the woman and can infect her during her pregnancy. Their birth control would have absolutely no value if you were to use a pill. So there in that situation, you need to use a condom. And in that situation, halacha probably would sanction the usage of a condom because it's for a longer period of time. Again, those types of shaylos really need to be asked to a very great mora harah to give you a psak halacha. So in terms of getting pregnant, as I mentioned, the official CDC recommendation, if the woman was in the Zika area, she should wait 8 weeks till she gets pregnant. If the husband was in the Zika area, you have to wait 6 months. So depending upon the circumstances that I just told you in terms of the IgM, and depending on the circumstances, whether she's already pregnant or trying to get pregnant, halacha would sometimes sanction the use of a condom, other times would sanction not the use of a condom, but would sanction the use of other methods of birth control. And in some situations, if Baruch Hashem, you could show that the husband did not have Zika, then it wouldn't sanction any form of birth control in that situation. And this next slide basically says that, and the point that I have here in red is that the CDC's recommendations do not yet take advantage of this IgM, but a Rav, a Posek, needs to take advantage of these. And the New York State Department of Health, and now as well through the CDC, you can obtain an IgM test on a man who's been in the Zika area, and if that test is negative, that essentially rules out all the Zika shadows that we've talked about, which again has huge halacha l'maisa ramifications. So, in conclusion, we have tremendous halachic issues that come up with Zika. And some people stick their heads in the sand and don't want to discuss them. Some people say, I'll do whatever I feel like doing, and I'll just follow the CDC recommendations. And neither of those two is a halachically correct approach. The shaylos really are, can you take a vacation? We talked about that. I don't think it's appropriate for a couple that could potentially become pregnant, or certainly if they are pregnant, to go vacation in the Zika endemic area. So that cancels the Olympic plans for those that wish to go. If they're above the age of getting pregnant, or for whatever the reason, pregnancy is not possible, the woman can't have children for whatever the medical reason, so then I don't think there's any prohibition in going to those areas. Worse comes worse, if they catch Zika, it's a relatively mild disease. Halacha doesn't prevent you from going if that's the only concern. If you're going to, because of business, we spoke about there would be halachic heter, I think, to go. We talked about contraception. Well, the person could use birth control pills if they're only trying to prevent pregnancy, so that's a preferable way than a condom. If the woman is already pregnant, so then birth control pills would be contraindicated medically and would be at no value to medically prevent the transmission of Zika in the zera, and therefore, depending on how long it would be necessary to use a condom, halacha would say sometimes yes, sometimes no. In terms of doing an abortion, so halacha does not sanction, I have not seen any posik that would say that you should do an abortion prophylactically on such women, Rahman al-Islam, who did get exposed to Zika during pregnancy. And this is based upon the relatively low risk, Baruch Hashem, of actually getting a Zika baby with microcephaly, and that getting a severe form of microcephaly is even less of a concern. However, halacha might, under certain situations, definitely allow a abortion to be performed if he did, in fact, have a very severe case of microcephaly. There are poskim that would allow abortion in that situation, rachmana litzlan. Finally, the last shaila we didn't talk about, it's not really so much of a shaila, it's are you allowed to genetically engineer mosquitoes to go and be less successful in the transmission of Zika and other viruses? Are you allowed to sterilize mosquitoes? The female really is the mosquito that transfers Zika, so if you can sterilize the mosquitoes, you won't have this problem. So I think these are not really halachic shailas. I think they're permissible because of the pikuach nefashos. This certainly is a major concern. The only shaila would be, is this a smart thing to do? And there, I'm not sure that the jury's out. We don't know sometimes the impact of doing something. And when you think you're doing the right thing, both from a medical, ethical point of view, it can have unforeseen ramifications. What happens if you change this mosquito vector? What is going to take its place? What is going to be the new problem that's going to be caused? Sometimes the new problem could be worse than the old problems. So again, this I hope has been a helpful halachic overview of the issues and concerns that come up with Zika. I have another minute or two to take any questions, but I thank you very much for listening. I wish everybody a special day today for the numerous reasons that we talked about. Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for America, for Entebbe, and we Mitzvah Shishem should use the day to learn Torah and to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Thank you very much. If there are any questions at this point in time, I'd be happy to take them. Okay, then it's my pleasure, I guess, to have the next speaker be introduced by Rabbi Shai Shachter. I apologize in advance. I unfortunately have to go back to the hospital.